This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition with me, Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan. The state of Selangor has embarked on a mission to be smart. Smart so that the city is able to improve the overall lives of its citizens. And in doing so, they have identified 12 smart domains to focus on in achieving a smarter Selangor. This includes things like transport and mobility, infrastructure, governance, safety and security, and solid waste management. So who better to work with in getting this done right than one of the smartest cities in the world, Barcelona. The state of Catalonia, of which Barcelona is its capital, has been highlighted in the press this year for terrorist attacks and more recently their unsuccessful referendum bid. But that aside, what makes this rich state smart is the phenomenal way in how they've made urban technological innovation work for them. Spearheading this is Media Urban, a company that helps implement technology to counter the most pressing urban challenges. And I spoke with this person.
I'm Maria Cisternas. I'm from Barcelona and I'm an architect by training. And I created a company that's called Media Urban, which belongs to the Media Pro Group, which is an urban content creation agency. Where does this come from? It comes from the experience of having driven the urban projects of Barcelona. I was the director of projects of the Barcelona City Council from 2011 to 2015 under the leadership of Mayor Trias, which is known abroad for having led the Smart City program.
Fantastic. Maria, welcome to the show. What I'm curious about is when we think about smart cities, the first thing we think about is often technology, but what needs to be in place before a city can even think about being smart?
Well, I think there needs to be a vision and a very important ambition to enhance the quality of life of citizens. The whole issue of smart, everybody talks about technology, software, whatever. But I think the best urban leaders of the future, of the coming years, are going to be those urban leaders that get to know better how their cities work and who are able to understand the many complexities that arise in modern cities. We move more, we consume more, we work more than our predecessors. So the city gets more and more complex. It is being built faster and we don't get to get used to the changes. So the urban leaders of the future will have to have a sound knowledge of how the city works. And this means getting a lot of data, real-time data, being able to manage it, to understand it, to put it in a format that is comprehensible for entrepreneurs, for companies, for citizens. And this is what the smart city is about.
So it goes beyond technology. It goes beyond just having really fast broadband.
Absolutely. Technology is an enabler for the change, but smart is an aspiration, just as it was the sustainability concept. The sustainability concept was a concept created by the Prandtl Report back in 1987. And no city can claim today it is a really sustainable city. It is an aspiration. It is a path towards that. Now, what does the concept of smart mean? It means that there is another layer that uses technology and uses the digital revolution to achieve that aspiration. I always say something. The revolution of the 19th and 20th century was the revolution of the architects and the engineers, meaning that they planned how the roads would be like, how the facades would look like, how the sanitation networks would look like. But it was planned. It was the architects and the engineers deciding how this would happen. Now, the digital revolution has happened without anybody planning it. Suddenly, in a span of 10-year times, the world has gone mobile, meaning that everybody wears in their pocket an iPhone or a smartphone or whatever that is connected to the internet, that has the mail and has constant feedback. So now everybody is digital. What we're going to see maybe in the coming years is that we're going to change our fingers by the voice control, and this is going to even change more.
And in many ways, our cities are left behind because our cities haven't started interacting with us. Maybe on a basic level, we know when public transport schedules might happen. We get that on our phone. But essentially, that's in a database somewhere. The city isn't actually communicating with us. And that's what would make it truly smart.
Exactly. I always say that there are some things that are simply not understandable. There is a traffic jam every day in every city of the world. But I can speak of Barcelona. Today, Barcelona is a very smart city, but still it is on the process. We need to collect more data. The city currently knows where people live, but it doesn't have the data on where people work. This is data that the state of Spain has because we'll pay taxes. But the city council does not cross this information or does not use it to plan the commuting patterns. So the future, in the coming years, we will see how the city council gets all this data, uses it, crosses it with the state information, and uses it for different times of the, for weekdays, for weekends, to plan the mobility in a much more detailed way.
Oh, of course, your trains will be on schedule, your trains will have a different frequency if it's the weekend or a weekday, peak hours, off-peak, all of that just based on this data.
Exactly.
So give me some concrete examples on how Barcelona is smart.
So Barcelona is smart, first of all, because it had visionary leader that encouraged the private sector to answer people's needs. So I think what was revolutionary from Barcelona was that the administration followed the citizens' needs. What are the smart policies that Barcelona has implemented? First of all, it has created a network of entrepreneurs. You have to think that Barcelona had gone through a very important crisis. The Spanish financial bubble impacted very strongly in Spanish cities. So the brick bubble exploded and impacted in people's life. We had enormous problems of evictions and people not being able to pay the mortgages. The construction sector, which had accounted for a significant amount of the GDP of the Spanish economy, simply disappeared from right. one day to the other. And the vision was that all these people could be doing other useful things for the city. So instead of actually building more buildings, they could be solving problems for the existing ones. So anything from the energy efficiency of the existing buildings, anything related to the public transport, to the redesign of public space using the IoT, the Internet of Everything, connecting all sensors of in the public space and put them into an open platform that informs the citizens of the level of sounds, the level of pollution, and making it available for everyone.
So it was a crisis that led to a complete reallocation of human resources.
Absolutely. Actually, we can say that thanks to the Smart City Initiative, the jobs that were removed or the unemployment, the new jobs that were created in the digital sector. There were more people trained. There were more companies that created more jobs in that field. Not very large corporations, or I guess what the city of Barcelona did was working with large corporations in some important projects that had a very big scope, but also working with small and medium enterprises, very local, that could use the technology of the big ones to solve local problems. I'm going to put an example. The Vinclas project. The Vinclas project was an initiative from the social affairs department. Barcelona is a city that is getting older and older. It's not going to grow very much, but its population is getting older and older. This means that lots of people over 60 live alone and that they do not want to live in residences or hospitals. They want to have their autonomy at home, and the city mayor wants to take care of them, but in a way that they can keep their independence. So the Vinclas project gave a tablet to all the elderly in which they were connected to their networks of confidence and the social services. So instead of having to presentially go every day, which would have been not sustainable from the financial point of view, now the elderly, when they can connect to the platform every hour, every day, whenever they wish, and there's going to be someone behind, either their relatives, their network of trust, or the social services.
How long did that transition take in Barcelona?
I always say the transition is still happening. It took 4 years to, let's say, consolidate the initiative. The first year, the city of Barcelona launched the Smart City Expo of Barcelona, which has inspired other smart cities of the world, as an exchange platform, as a place to learn from other cities. From that perspective, the press, the schools, the education sector gained awareness of the urban issues. And now what we can say is that there are increasingly more and more people, let's say a cluster of companies that are addressing those needs. Anything from companies that do visualization of data, companies that analyze commercial flows, companies that analyze street concurrency. Oh, the data has become available. It is useful for the city and for its citizens. It has a cost, but it is much more economical than what it took some years ago before we had to do surveys and they were very expensive. So technology has helped to get an ecosystem of innovators on smart cities.
After this, I ask Maria how Barcelona has gone from being an old city to the hippest, world-class smart city it is known for today. Age is clearly not a problem here in the Evening Edition. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. I'm Uma Paganampake Pagan, and this is the Evening Edition. We're talking today about smart cities and whether Selangor has what it takes to have smart bins, for example, where rubbish is sucked below the ground, or even lampposts that are part of the city's Wi-Fi network and are equipped with sensors that can collect data. Sounds a little far-fetched to me, but if an old city like Barcelona has done it, why not Selangor? A few months ago, I caught up with the CEO of Media Urban, Maria Cisternas, and she was down here to advise the Selangor government in its Smart City initiative. An architect by profession, she co-founded Media Urban. They're a consultancy group that offers urban strategies and smart digital solutions for cities around the world. Barcelona is an incredibly old city, unlike any city that's here in Malaysia today. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, that such a transition would be easier for a younger, more modern city. Is that the case? Because I guess because our roots don't run so deep, and so therefore the inefficiencies that exist in an ancient city may not be there in, say, Kuala Lumpur.
Well, this is a very tough question. Barcelona is a very old city, indeed. It lasts from the Roman times. It was confined within the town walls until 1850s. And then the city did an extension plan, which was driven by an engineer that was called Ildefons Cerdà, who had a dream. He had a social dream to enlarge the city and to give the same social conditions, the same social benefits from the people of the periphery to the people of the center. Now, this visionary leader came up with a physical solution that was a network of streets that has allowed that the city of Barcelona today can upgrade the network without major investments.
And this happened in the 1800s?
Yes, so it was designed in the 1850s, and it still works today, meaning that those streets today host lighting that have LEDs that consume half of what they used to consume, that have bins that tell when they are full, that has parking slots that can be paid exactly by the second using your mobile phone. And it was exactly the same street that was built 150 years ago. There has been some resilience to change as well.
As there will be in any city, of course.
Exactly.
And what is it? Talk to me about the technology, because that stuff really excites me as well. The LEDs and street lamps and what they can do, the bins that tell you when they're full and when they need to be emptied. I mean, that's the kind of thing that makes, it's the little things that makes life for the city dweller so much easier and more efficient. And it's often the things we don't think about.
Absolutely. What's quality of life? Quality of life is not the beauty of the facades. Many cities are more beautiful than Barcelona. It's not the quality of its shops or the luxury of the hotels. Barcelona is not a very luxurious city. It's not a very rich city compared to other cities in Europe. What the quality of life is the contact line between the private life and the collective life. And those cities that have quality of life are those cities that, through the collective life, enhance the personal and the individual life, and that make it easier to live in the city within a common project. Issues like the lighting, they might seem very unimportant, but they are of huge importance. Lighting gives us security. It gives us comfort. So the city of Barcelona, when and it gives efficiency. So the savings in the light consumption have been reallocated in other infrastructure of the 21st century. Now we have district heating and cooling. The district heating and cooling is produced with the burnings of the waste, of part of the waste that cannot be recycled. So the paper is recycled, plastic as well. But those waste, that, those garbage that cannot be recycled, they are burned. And with the heat they produce, there is a huge district that is heated in wintertime. So all these efficiencies make that the resources allocated previously into urban services can now be provided into social services, into innovation programs, and it creates an alternative economy. No? As I mentioned, these are minor changes, but very effective ones. For example, when we changed the LEDs, this was not an easy transition, but we made a master plan for the new lighting of the city. It was stated that pedestrians were going to have priority. So instead of lighting the roads for the cars already have their lights. What was important was to put the lights into the facades of the buildings and into the sidewalks. So the master plan is there, and it informs any public works that are going to take place in the next years. So it's a transition, and not all the lightings in the city are LED, but we're getting there by a very simple tool, which is a law, which is a master plan for the lighting. And the same can apply to other solutions.
So far, what are some of the challenges and similarities do you see that you see between, say, Selangor and Barcelona? Or take a city in Selangor, say, Petaling Jaya and Barcelona.
Well, first of all, I would say that the population of Selangor is very similar to the population of Catalonia. The state at which Barcelona is capital of is Catalonia. Catalonia has 7 million people. Selangor has 6. Barcelona is a very powerful city, but its metropolitan area is going to be the future of that. What happens is that Barcelona is a very consolidated city, but the urban agenda is now, the focus is on the growth of the metropolitan area, meaning that Barcelona has important housing issues. There is not enough social housing, for example. We only have 1% of affordable housing in the city. And this puts a lot of pressure into normal families. Now, the solution to that is going to come by the construction of new neighborhoods, of new affordable homes in the metropolitan area, how to connect those districts with the city center, how to bring public transport and finance it to those areas. That's going to be an issue for Barcelona, that I'm sure that applies to Selangor as well.
There are 12 things in your grand plan or outline for smart city. I wanted to talk about some of them. Not all 12. I don't know if we have time for that. But smart governance. Can you explain to people? I don't think people get what smart governance means. I mean, for a city to be smart, surely the governance has to be smart too. But where do we begin with something like that?
Well, typically, cities, to be operative, because they run the lives of many people, like corporations, were divided into departments. What happened is that with the evolution of the city, people in one department gained a lot of knowledge about their department. So typically you have the experts of mobility knowing a lot of their issues, but not necessarily knowing nothing about housing issues or about energy issues. So the first...
Trust me, that's exactly what happens here. That's why the guy who's running the power lines has no idea what's going on with the water, who has no idea what's going on with the internet.
It's, in a way, it's normal, but if it continues to go like this, it can produce enormous inefficiencies. So the first smart decision for governance is to break the silos and make it so that different disciplines, different backgrounds, different specialists talk together and get appropriate decisions. The second one is that there is no better knowledge of the city than the knowledge of its citizens. So what we're going to see more and more is that smart governance is going to be about citizen engagement, asking the people which are their priorities, which are their main barriers to the development of their daily life. And smart governance will mean a more accurate decision-making process, taking into account also bottom-up initiatives.
And when it comes to curating that information from citizens, a lot of the time it's not the collection of data, but knowing what to do with that data, right? That's the most time-consuming thing, because computers can't just do that for you.
Exactly. I think for that we need to write down the questions. What do we want to know? For example, in Barcelona now, there is a huge contention with tourism because after the Olympics, many people came to Barcelona. It has become a very international city, but this also puts some pressure into local residents and to housing rents. And there is a contention whether tourism is positive or negative. My personal opinion is that tourism is always going to be positive and that we have to handle and redistribute its values. Now, the storytelling says that many investment funds are acquiring properties in Barcelona. And people say gentrification processes are happening. So people are evicted from their homes because of global capital buying properties in the city, which is a phenomenon that happens in London, in Paris, in Barcelona.
In Kuala Lumpur as well.
So the question here is, how many investor funds are buying properties in Barcelona? How many of our land belongs to foreigners or investment funds that are going to relocate this? So we have to visualize this, and we have to, in order to take the appropriate decisions, first of all, somebody has to go to the registry of the property and do the analysis, and then visualize it, make the data comprehensible for ordinary citizens, for the press, and then from that, design the appropriate public policy. But it has to be on that sequencing.
Tune in next week for the second part of our discussion on smart cities with Maria Cisternas. I'm Umar Pagan, I'm PK Pagan, and you've been listening to the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.